The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, my name is Taryn, and I love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 279 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WW Today, and with me here at Expansive Studio Number 2, the Mickey Miles Podcast Studio Headquarters, is none other than Michelle Scribner-McLean. Michelle, have you gotten used to the new digs?
Well, you know, it was so nice for Dave Letterman to retire so that we could take over his theater and do our humble podcast there. You know, he took it really well when we asked him to scram, but yeah, I like it. I like the new digs.
Yeah, so far so good.
We have to ask our listeners what they think.
And we're still tinkering here and there with sound, so let's hopefully we'll get it to the point where it's perfect.
All right, Mike, buckle up. You ready? I have a shout-out.
Okay.
And the shout-out is to, I just get to hang out in Austin with a friend of mine from Colorado. So this is a shout-out to somebody in Colorado. She's a listener whose name is Kara Henry. And today is a very big race day in Colorado. It is the Boulder 10K, and 50,000 people run that race, including a buddy of mine, Andrew Monahan, who doesn't listen to the show, but I was with his wife, Giselle. And it's a really, really big deal in Colorado. So, Kara, congratulations. That sounds like a real fun one. I'm sure the weather was fabulous, too.
I'm sure it is fabulous. And you know what else is fabulous? Being on a boat in January and going to a nice...
Not New England.
New England. Okay. A nice island and having a race with a nice 5K race with all your friends and then, you know, enjoying each other's company and... hey, we're going to do that.
Are you talking about the Mickey Mouse Podcast cruise after marathon weekend?
After marathon
weekend. Wow, that was a nice segue.
Things are really looking to be a really good crowd.
We have about, I can't remember, I want to say it's between 70 and 80 people going on the cruise. Yeah. So, including you and I. And what I'm looking forward to is just being able to hang out with friends and eat dinner and chat and not running to a race all the time. So, so that'll be nice. Can't wait. So, Mike, how do people sign up if they're interested?
Well, if I wanted to sign up, I would go to the Mickey Miles Podcast Facebook page.
Would you? Every once in a while, we have the link on there.
Go on.
I would go to MEI Mouse Fan Travel and click on the link that says Mickey Miles Podcast.
Actually, I'd say to you, Michelle, how do I sign up?
You would say that to me. You would. So
I'd definitely go to MEI Mouse Fan Travel. And there's a link there that tells you everything you need to know, and you'll be able to talk to a expert. For the DCL, Disney Cruise Lines, they're all experts over there at Mouse Fan Travel and MEI. And
they're going to be at least a few MEI agents on the cruise with us.
Yes.
Yeah. I know Amanda Gonzalez will be there. Becky's coming. And I think Brock is coming, too.
You never know who you're going to run into on a Mickey Miles Podcast cruise.
You sound like you have something up your sleeve.
Could be. You never know.
All right. Well, I think we need to get onto our topic here.
All right. Now, topic is questions, questions, questions.
All right.
And you always get to start off, so I'm going to let you start off again.
All right. Are we starting off with Eric or Katie?
Let's start off with Eric Yoshimitsu.
Okay. Eric Yoshimitsu. And this is, we've had this in the queue for a while, Eric. So sorry about that. He says, first, thank you for the show. I've been listening for about 6 months now. My question is about racing flats. I've been running in Kayanos, so A6 Kayano, but I've heard of racing flats. And since I'd like to move to faster corrals, are racing flats actually worth the money? And Mike, I know nothing about racing flats, which is why I pushed this question down. I know that on my son's cross country team, the kids use them. Some of the kids use them. What do you know about racing flats? How can we help Eric?
Eric, racing flats were basically what everybody was using when the first wave of running hit. And I was part of that. This was way back in the late 60s, early 70s. We didn't have the type of shoes we have now, so we had racing flats. I don't know if I could say that they would help you get into faster corrals. They don't. It's like anything else. Everybody has an individual taste when it comes to running. And for some people, moving to racing flats, which would be very much a minimalist type of running shoe, takes time. You just can't go from traditional to minimalist. Even when you talk to a lot of the manufacturers who make minimalist shoes, they tell you, you know, take it slowly. And some of them even say as much as 6 weeks are required for you to adjust. You just don't put on the new shoes and run with them. So I'd be very cautious about it. You know, I'm not going to discourage you, but at the same time, I'm not going to say, oh, wow, Eric, go out and buy some, and you're going to be able to run much faster. There are also potential injuries.
Yeah, they are lighter, but, you know, whenever you're changing to a new shoe, you have to be careful. And I would definitely recommend going to a running store and having yourself fitted. I know my local running store has them, and I know my son's cross country, the kids who are varsity and the more developed kids with the stronger leg muscles are the ones who are racing flats. So maybe, I know we have some coaches out there, maybe we can have somebody write in and give us more advice if we miss something, but Eric, we hope to see you at a race.
Yeah, and again, before we end this topic, Eric, one of the reasons why we're very cautious is that those type of running shoes have very little support and very little cushioning, and they're very light, so they may not be for everyone.
Especially when you're first starting off running, probably not the best idea.
Exactly.
All right, so do we have another question in the email bag?
We have one from Katie Fott, who's from Las Vegas, Nevada. Ooh. And she says, hey, Mike and Michelle, or Michelle and Mike. I love the podcast.
My name comes first.
That's true.
Please make sure
M-I-C,
you say that.
Well, I'm M-I-C-H-E. Mine is M-I-C-H-A.
All right.
Hi, Michelle and Mike. I love the podcast. I have run 3 Disney races, a 5K, a 10K, and a half marathon. I just started for training for the Dumbo Double Dare, and I have bad pain in my side ribs when I run. I know this is a common running issue for many people, and I find a lot of different answers out there for why that occurs and how to treat it. What are your thoughts? Signed, Katie.
All right. I have an idea about this one. So I actually have this happen from time to time, and it happens mostly at the beginning of running or usually at races. And for me, and I agree with Katie, there are a lot of different reasons, but for me, the reason it happens is that I am running too fast too soon. I haven't given myself time to warm up. And it's one of the things that you learn when you're training. You learn so much about running and about yourself. So for me, when that happens, it's my signal to slow it down and wait for myself to warm up a little bit. So I know for me, I get caught up at the beginning of the race and people running and I want to go fast and I'm all excited. But I've said this on the show many times. My mantra is run your own race, run your own race. And when I get that pain, it's time for me to slow down. And 100% of the time when I do that, it goes away. Mike?
I believe this is called stitch.
A stitch. You get a little stitches. Stitch. Mm-hmm.
And I've had it happen to me, I don't know how many times, about 10 or 12 times in my lifetime. And it's because on those 10 or 12 times, I've kind of run a little too fast. And in the olden days, we used to say, oh, just run through it, just run through it. And by running through it, I should say, what that means is that you give your body time to warm up and stretch. And after a while, that side pain will subside. But you have to be patient. And one of the things you need to do is, Katie, is to try to remember when it happens, why it happens, and maybe adjust so that it won't happen.
You know, I have seen other people talk about another reason might be that you're not hydrated enough. So I don't know. You have to find out what works for you, but I would start with slowing down your pace and seeing if that happens. And if it can, if the pain continues and it gets worse, I would definitely scrub your run. But, you know, for me, when I slow down, it goes away after about 5 minutes. All right. Ready for the next question?
You're up.
All right. The next question is from Jacques Schmidt. And he says, hello, Mike and Michelle. First, a big, humongous thank you for all of your hard work as you serve the mouse-loving running community. First, my first run ever was the Tinkerbell 10K in 2014. I did great and felt prepared to run a longer race in the future. A week later, I developed vertigo, and it lasted many months. It was difficult to lose all that I'd worked so hard to accomplish. I was eventually able to recover, and I decided to register for the Disneyland 10K in 2015. But my biggest hurdle has been that my mind remembers running faster and longer, but my body strongly disagrees. After several runs that did not end well, I went back to Jeff Galloway training and humbled myself to do a 30-30. Success. Not only did my mile per minute drastically improve, I felt so much better afterwards. So thank you for giving us the tools necessary to succeed. I just needed to remember to use the right tool for my situation. Hugs, Jacques Schmidt, and he's from Medford, Oregon. That's really nice. Jacques, thank you for the kind words, and what a great reminder for people. Mike, I think you actually had a friend that you work with who's going through a similar thing, and you gave her similar advice, correct?
Yes, my friend Susan Poon this morning ran a half marathon in Boston, and she had talked to me early this week, and she had said, you got to get me through this. You got to get me through this. Susan had been having some pains, IT band issues, hip issues, ankle issues, all kinds of things. And she had never really tried Jeff's method. So made a few suggestions regarding certain things and also said, you know, try doing a 30-30, because she was having trouble right after the first mile or 2 miles of any run. So I suggested that maybe if you're doing some walks, and you think about this, Michelle, when you do the walk part of the run, walk, run, you're actually doing a little bit of stretching and recovering. So, and that worked for Susan to the point where she's all excited now. So what happens with Jacques can happen with Susan, and probably, you know, would work for a lot of people, may not everyone, but a lot of people.
And I think his point is really good, that sometimes when something happens, an illness or something where you have to lose training, it's frustrating to dial it back, but it can actually help you feel more successful, because if you try to run the way you were running before you're ready, it happened to Jack. He had to abandon some runs. So dial it back, maybe increase your walking, decrease your running. And Jack, we want to hear a report about how you do in your Disneyland 10K. I'm sure it's going to be great. And thanks again for the nice words. All right, Mike.
Our next question comes from our friend Trey Brush, who has a very interesting letter. He says, hi, Mike and Michelle, just a couple of questions for you today. I thought I heard that the racetrack was coming down for parking at the Magic Kingdom. Do you anticipate the marathon course changing a good bit? I would assume that if that happens soon, the course would have to be changed. I was wondering if it might go back to the old course. I was not sure if you heard anything about the course being changed or not. Second part of the question, if you could design your own marathon course in Disney, what would it look like and how would you run around the world? Thanks for all you do, signed Trey. All right, Michelle, what do you think? Do you think they're going to go back to the old course?
Well, for the second part of the question, I think that's a great show topic, and I would love to put that aside. I just actually wrote it down. Design your own marathon course. If you could start from scratch. Should we make that a topic?
Sure.
All right. In terms of the racetrack, it's definitely closing, if not already closed. And that will take about a mile off the Walt Disney World Marathon. So for those who have never done it, you run into the Richard Petty driving experience. There's a banked racetrack. I know nothing about racing, but there's a banked racetrack, and on the upper part of the racetrack, there are usually volunteers with about 100 classic cars. including our friends Marilyn and Mark Lyons, have been there for the past few years. So it's kind of a neat thing, and they play music from Cars and things like that. So where's that mile going to end up? Well, I'm not really sure. We might want to think about things that they've done in other races that are not currently in the marathon, but it really kind of encompasses a lot of other races already. Mike, where do you think they're going to make up that extra mile? Because we're already going into Animal Kingdom the way we do with Wine and Dine, and we're going around the studios the way we already do with Wine and Dine, and the we're going around the boardwalk. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to think about it.
Well, back in 2005, that was the last time the marathon and the half marathon began with a run around World Showcase Lagoon. Maybe they are thinking about bringing that back. That would be nice. That's about a mile and a quarter around that that area. That could be something. My fear is that what will happen, Michelle, is that they will take the backstages of Epcot and they will add to the marathon that area, which is what they did, I believe, for the Chippendale marathon relay that Sunday. We did that. We ran a lot in the back, so mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I have a feeling that might be it. I don't think you'll see more on stage course added.
I can't think of where you would have more on stage. Trey, I don't want to push that other question aside, but I really do think that would be a great show for us to think about designing your own brand new marathon. If we could start from scratch. Yes?
All right, Michelle, next question.
All right, so is it me or you? It's me reading. Okay, Brandy Marie is our next person who wrote in, and she says, good morning, love your show. I wanted to ask a question about breathing exercises. I've been running a little over a year, and I'm working on improving my pace. I do the Galloway method at a 30-45 interval. It seems okay, but when I'm trying to do anything longer than a minute, my breathing is not great. I seem to take longer to recover. Any suggestions for breathing exercises? I'm going to the doctor soon, too, just for a physical. Thanks so much. Mike?
Well, I'm not a doctor, nor do I play one on any podcast I am involved with. I don't know if there are any breathing exercises that I could recommend, Brandy. I think that the best advice is what you're already doing, and that is going to your doctor and seeing if there's something that you can do to improve your breathing. It seems interesting that you're okay at 30-45, but when you try to do anything longer than a minute, you know, there's an issue here. So I can only say do what you think is best, and that is go see your doctor and see if he can give you some advice.
Yeah, I that's where I would definitely start off. He might have asthma or something like that. But here's what I'm not seeing on your description. I'm wondering if you're going from 30-45 to a minute 45. Are you going right from 30 seconds to 1 minute? Because if that's the case, I would recommend that you pop your intervals up 5 seconds at a time. So you're doing 30-45s now. Why don't you start with 35-45 and try that for a few weeks? I think sometimes people move them up too quickly, yes. And I think your body has to get ready for it. So it has to get used to it. So I'd start off with 5 second intervals, and right away you're going to notice a difference. You might be a little short of breath, and I think that's a good thing. You're pushing yourself a little bit. If it gets too uncomfortable, definitely stop. But start off with 35 and try that for a bit, I would say a week or two, and then move up to 40. And I bet if you do that, you're going to condition yourself to get to a minute.
I think that's a good point, Michelle, because in many cases, what we're doing is we're teaching our bodies to deal with what we want them to deal with. So
right. You need the stamina. Yeah. You need the stamina. All right.
Our next question comes from somebody named Bernie Edwards. Do you know of Bernie Edwards?
I only know Bernie Edwards, who works at NASA and who's an amazing runner and a super sweet guy. Is it the same one?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so Bernie says, hi, Mike and Michelle. This is Bernie Edwards from Columbia, Maryland. I just listened to your recent Best of episode on beating the heat and thought I would write in. You all mentioned this, but I wanted to add on. One of the best ways to beat the heat is to run before the sun gets up. I agree, Bernie. When I am at home and not on travel, I have to get up at 4 a.m. to get a run in. Otherwise, when I try to run later in the day, I find that I miss more days than I actually run due to work and other parts of my life getting in the way. If I want to ensure I run, then that means getting up at 4 a.m. The good news is that this is now my normal routine and I am used to it. However, to get there, I struggled for years on how to light my runs. I have tried everything, including doing nothing, which isn't smart at all, he says.
He says, not
yeah,
you.
Yeah, not me. Tying various forms for flashlights and lamps, wearing various safety vests, several with built-in lights and lamps, etc. I have easily spent over $1,000 these past 3 years figuring this out. I have worn lamps on my head, on vests, on hats, on knuckles, etc. I have finally found one that works well. It is easy to use and very comfortable. And if you are a fan of Iron Man, you can pretend you are in your own suit. It is the Run Light by Kalenji. I had trouble, and it's spelled K-A-L-E-N-J-I. I may be pronouncing it wrong. Kalenji.
Sounds good to me.
I had trouble finding it in the United States, but ordered it from overseas. I now own two, and it makes running in the dark enjoyable instead of dangerous. It is a lamp that comfortably straps across your chest, hence the Iron Man look, and has three different light levels. It has a rechargeable battery via a USB port. No, that's good. Anyways, I just wanted to mention this because I found running in the early morning dangerous and problematic until I found this light. I thought some of your listeners might be in the same situation. Running before the sun gets up definitely makes running in the heat and humidity of summer much more enjoyable. Bernie.
Yeah, I think that's really, really helpful. Thank you so much, Bernie, and hence why we call him a very sweet guy. I'm wondering how much this costs, because if you're getting it from overseas, and it sounds high-techy.
I like the idea that it's rechargeable.
Yeah, I like that it's on. I also like that it's on your chest and not like on your head. Like you don't need anything banging on your head. You know, I have a lamp that I use for running in the dark too, but I wouldn't say that's the most comfortable thing in the world. So. That's neat.
Thanks, Bernie.
Yeah. All right, Mike, do we have time for more?
Let's see if we can get through the last two.
All right. So the next one is from Matt Birchfield. He's from Maple, North Carolina. It's a nice name. And he says, what time is the Jingle Jangle 5K over normally? I'm trying to make a breakfast reservation for 8 at Ohana's post-race. Thanks for your input. So I'm thinking he's meaning 8 o'clock and not for 8 people. And usually the race starts between 5:30 and 6. It depends on how you're running the Jingle Jungle 5K. And he said it like you do. It's Jingle Jungle. Yeah. I don't know. Now I'm confused. But if you're running it for speed, you're going to make it no problem. If you're running it for leisure, where you're going to stop and look at all the characters, you know, probably over by 7:15. If you have your car, I would say you could make it over there. Okay. So, yeah, I would say eight should be fine. What do you think, Michael?
Well, I don't know what, first off, I don't know what corral Matt's going to be in.
Right, right. That's a very good point because the corrals take so long between them.
And we know that nowadays, the 5Ks, the first runners are over the finish line before the last runners cross.
Right, good point.
And depending upon how many. And I'm guessing that for Wine and Dine race weekend, it's going to be really crowded.
Oh yeah.
My guess is, and I hate to say this, but I don't think it's possible.
Yeah, you know, I think I agree with you. I've changed my mind. If you're running in Corral A for speed, I think you could do it.
If
I would say 9 would make me more comfortable.
My guess is that Matt won't cross the start line till 6:30.
Okay.
And let's say he finishes sometime between 7 and 7:15. You know, I mean, you could do it if you drive over, but I think it's going to be a very, very, very difficult thing. If you had said 9, I would have said, okay, I think you can do it. But 8 is really cutting it close. So that's my honest opinion.
Yeah, I think
it's
a good one.
We hope to see you there and let us know how it turned out.
We do know a dessert party you could go to. Though
That's true. It's not after any race.
No. Well, it is after all the races. All right, one more, Michael.
We have the final question comes from Michelle McNally. And Michelle says, hey, Mike and Michelle, is there going to be a Mickey Miles team at the Gingerbread 5K for Give Kids the World? I won't actually be there, but we'll be doing it virtually. As of today, we don't know.
We don't know. No, we don't have a... I'm sure there are going to be a group of people there running the Give Kids the World, including our good friend Karen Skilling, who's run a few of those races. But we are, if you're a Mickey Miler, you're raising money for Give Kids the World, and we'd love it if you join the team and continue to raise money for a great cause. But Michelle, you are quite a planner, as the every Michelle I know is, and we'll keep you in the loop. We'll let you know. But if you don't hear from us, around September, October, feel free to email back and let us know. But we'll keep that in the back of our minds.
And with that, Michelle, we actually have answered all the questions that are in the queue.
Mm.
And we
and
know
thank
that
you to our buddy Alex for organizing them for us.
There are, and we want Alex to keep busy, so please send in more questions. It's getting to be summer. There are a lot of questions that for those who are just getting into running may need to have, answers to. There's Double Dare coming up and a few others coming up. So please feel free to ask any question that comes to mind, because you may be asking a question that others may want asked too. So for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles podcast. The Mickey Miles podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.